and you see in verse 15 that the Lord doesn't require a whole host of things to be done when there's recognition of some failure. They simply cried out, and in verse 15, as he was in verse 12, to raise up the enemy. He was faithful in verse 15 to raise up the deliverer. And they simply had to cry out unto him. I was thinking of a verse in chapter 10, in verse 16. I'm just going to read part of it real quick. It says, in that portion, they kind of get to some level of repentance and recognition of some of the failures. And it says that his soul, that's the Lord's, was grieved for the misery of Israel. He saw that they were in complete distress. And he doesn't wait until, you know, if someone does something to us, sometimes we have a whole list of requirements that have to be completed before we forgive them. Or before, especially if we know that they're going to do it again the next day. And here the Lord is faithful as he is. He knows very well that once he delivers them, there will be a very short period of time and they'll be going back into their old ways again. But as faithful as he is, he's just looking for just to cry out to him. And as weak as that prayer may have been, as not complete as it may have been, the measure of dependence that they, in a very even small way, showed upon to him, he was faithful to give them a deliverer because he saw the misery that they were in. He looked, and it's the same with us. He sees sometimes the misery that we allow or that we bring upon ourselves. He allowed them to feel the weight of their own decisions. They had made decisions, and we likewise make decisions where we have the right to make our own decisions, but we don't have the right to choose the consequences of those decisions. And what they did, God allowed them to feel the weight of all of their failures. But when there was some measure of just realization, he quickly moves in and he provides the deliverer because he's faithful, because he doesn't want to leave them in the state that they're in.
It doesn't matter where the deliverer is from, we heard. Left-handed is weakness and also difference, alienation from the world. And the tribe of Benjamin is also considered the weakest tribe. And so for our day, that's like looking at the NCAA tournament and seeing a team coming out of the Big East and saying, well, there's only two good teams there. They're not really a good team. A player who we know coming out of a small division, not the SEC in football. You know, that's how we talk, for those of us who like sports. It doesn't matter where it's from. God can use a left-handed man out of the smallest tribe for greatness. We define things as where you come from. If you come from a good family, if you come from a good area of the United States, maybe some of us in the North think people from the South are weird. It doesn't matter. God can use anyone. And he uses this man who the enemy is treading on his land, because the city of Palms, as we were told, was in Jericho, which is in the tribe of Benjamin, which is where Ehud is from. So, again, it doesn't matter where you're from, even if you're from the South or even Canada, God can use all of us and for greatness for his sake.
Matt, I trust you're not creating wars among us. I was just thinking, though, you know, how the depth to which the children of Israel had gone. Because even after they felt the weight of serving Moab for 18 years and then they cried to the Lord, they still turned around and sent a gift by the hand of Ehud to Eglon. It shows the depth of servitude, that you can't extricate yourself. You're so under his influence that you're still feeding into him. But then comes the action of Ehud that makes it vastly different. We're so entwined with the flesh that we need to get liberty and liberation, and only God can give it. And it is seen as evident in the way Ehud responds.
Well, you have a man like Ehud who is spiritually discerning, finds an opportunity. I'm reminded of Paul. When he was surrounded by idols, he saw the idol to the unknown God, and he saw an opportunity, and he seized it. God gives us opportunities in our lives all throughout the day, no matter where we are, to do something for himself, to tells him about his son. We have opportunities constantly, but it takes the spiritual discernment of a man like Ehud, who shows dependence, who recognizes his weakness, to see the opportunities and to seize them.
I was just reminded of a few verses in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about the same thing in the theme in the book of Judges. Starting from verse 27, it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised. But God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And I was reminded throughout Judges, God uses things that the world esteems as nothing. He uses a woman with a nail. He uses an ox goad, a jawbone of a donkey, and here he uses a left-handed man. And it just shows us how that our weakness has nothing to do with how we are used of the Lord. Just like God told Paul that my strength is made perfect in weakness. So it's not an excuse for us to think of our own weakness, but to always remember that we belong to the Lord, and it's his strength that empowers us.
Just have a couple of verses that go along with what Brother David was saying and a few others in relation to the turning that seems to have gone on in verse 15 there. In Proverbs 28, and a practical point at the end as well, hopefully that will help us apply these verses. In chapter 28 of Proverbs, verse 13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And also in 1 John chapter 1, one verse there. Verse 9, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And also one more in chapter 2. 2nd part of chapter 2, verse 1 of chapter 2. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And there I see a number of verses that apply directly to what seems to have gone on in verse 15. There was a turning around from the way that the flesh has ruled the children of Israel for that number of years. And there seems to have been a turning to Jehovah, a turning to the one who is able to save. And today, we can simply apply that as if you have been in a particular sin, or you've turned on your computer, say, or if you've driven by a billboard that you've seen, and you quickly confess that. The Lord desires for us to, as soon as something enters our mind as such, to quickly confess it before him, to bring that into his light and to realize what we have done. I have an acronym that may help us with this specific idea of forsaking the sin that has beset us. It's Anthem, and it says, "Avoid sin, say no to the thought, forcefully and powerfully. T, turn your eye to Jesus for satisfaction. H, hold the view of Christ. E, enjoy Christ. And M, move from idleness to usefulness." And those are things that can really help us today as we have sin in the flesh that easily besets us, as we desire to turn from that and we confess it before him. Those are practical points that can help us make that change and make that turn for him.